This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled Usury.
This is the weirdest thing, but they actually did this, and you can find this in New York Times, it'll tell you. The international bankers, that is your Chase Manhattan and all, took the portfolios of all the farmers in the United States and combined those portfolios with the deficit of the other countries, Mexico and so forth. Now the farmers have a positive. They own more than they owe. Total. So since they own more than they owe, they combined that with the guys who owed more than they owned, so that on the final balance of the bank, it looked like the bank was still solvent. You didn't catch that? They made the farmers of the United States second signers on Mexico's loans. That's very difficult to get the point across, and if I didn't do it right, I'm sorry, but that's about the way it was, you see. So in other words, we are having the bankroll the rest of the world. Okay. But you know something? Even the United States owes more money to the international bankers. But as long as we're willing to continue our present process of deficit spending, then as long as we're willing to just owe more and more money every year, then we can keep on printing more money and keep the thing going. Now that's the basic principle of what we're dealing with. Where did this come from? It came from Alexander the Great. When? 334 BC. For he set up the first IMF, International Monetary Fund, based on gold. And he hooked the nations together with an International Monetary Fund based on gold, and they started he learned his usury principles from Babylon, where Medes and Persians, how many know this Babylon? You see. And by learning these principles and taking them out and then exposing them to the rest of the world, he set out the International Monetary Fund, which is now wringing our necks, taking our life, because of that simple chart that I just showed you. All right, here's some tough teaching. I'm not going to find fault with anybody for borrowing money or loaning money. Since John brought up that one scripture, then let's turn to it now, and it's in Deuteronomy 23. 23:19 and 20 describes a process that we've got to deal with. 23:19 and 20. Go ahead, Bob.
Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury.
What do you say?
Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury.
What do you say?
Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. But unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
Now what we find here is a strange twist of biblical law that says that to our own people, we cannot charge usury, but we can charge usury to those who are not like us.
Who is a stranger?
The Jews and the Roman Catholics for centuries have used this scripture to justify their banking practices. I'm going to get to nitty-gritty here in a minute. Now, it may sound to you like I'm anti-Jewish, what do they call it, anti-Semitic, or anti-Roman, but anybody who knows me knows that I'm not. But I must use some words to label some things that have happened. Are you understanding me now? I've got to tell the truth the way it happened. And this is the way it happened. How many remember the Crusades? You're much older than I, but I may remember studying the Crusades, all right. And in studying the Crusades, we found out they occurred about the change of the millennium, about 1000 A.D. How many knew that? About 1000, the Crusades went over, and these were Crusades of people out of Britain, out of France, out of the Holland Dutch and the Germans, all marched under the one cross for the Pope as they went back over into Jerusalem to get those Muslims out of there. Does anybody remember any stories about this at all? How many know I'm telling the truth anyway? Tell the others. Okay. Then what happened was that about 1000 A.D., banks were established throughout what we might call the Europe, and it was possible to deposit some money in a bank in France for the benefit of your son or father who was at war in one of the, either for the nation or the Pope, and fighting a battle over in Alexandria, Egypt. He was able to withdraw from his account money that you had put in the bank in France. How many understood that? How many will try to understand that? How many heard what I said? They had international banks, and they had semaphores connecting cities back in those days, and the semaphores did this.
24-hour banking machine?
Well, plastic cards the whole way. They had accounts in France that could be withdrawn from in Egypt in 1000 A.D. The banks were either owned or controlled by the Roman Catholic Church or the Pope. 100 years later, a theological mistake was made when a pope was reading in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Someone turn to it, please. Now, I know that I'm saying some things, and I know I'm talking to some Jews and some Roman Catholics and some people like that, and I'm not here to step on anybody's toes, but I'm going to have to tell you the history of the banking. Also, I'm perfectly aware that a lot of times I speak to presidents of banks that are here in our meetings, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but I want you to see where we're coming from. I've just told you that everybody here that's got $100 in the bank is a sinner. Well, does everybody feel like he stepped on somebody's toes? Not on purpose, but to show you that we're all caught in this gigantic web. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of us. All. Not just the banker, not the one downtown, not just the Rothschild, but the whole thing. It's a system. And it's called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's what it's called in the Bible. I'm going to prove it to you. It's a system that's ruining our churches.
Amen.
You buy a $300,000 church building, and how much do you pay? Over $1 million. You know that my little daughter here is buying a house for $30,000, going to pay $120,000 back. Now, that's enough to ruin anybody's life. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I'm trying to show you why they have to get so terrible much money out of us right now, so they just wring us and wring us and wring us until it feels like our necks are wrung in the two. It's because of those charts and those monies and those dollars that I tried to show you, and I couldn't even pronounce the words. Duodecillions. We don't have in our ability, in our minds, the ability to comprehend even those numbers that have been shown to you. And yet those very numbers will come out of your own computer if you put in them. Put the numbers in and multiply by 1.2 every year, and you'll come up with the same numbers like I did. The mistake was in Luke 6:35. Read it to us, Pastor. Luke 6:35.
But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again.
Now, lend, hoping for nothing again, was spoken by Jesus Christ. We know it was Jesus speaking because it's printed in red. And He says, hope for nothing in return. That's not what the Bible really says. Let me hear it in a modern version, especially the American Standard. Who has it in one of the modern versions? That's not a good enough translation. Let me hear it in another one. I need a more expensive Bible. I don't know what yours will say. Let me hear it.
Love your enemies and be kind and do good, doing favors, so that someone derives benefit from them, and lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return.
Now I need another one. Do we have anybody here with the American Standard? The American Standard says exactly what the Greek says, lend, not despairing at all. Say that again. Lend, not despairing at all. Lend, not despairing at all. Now that's entirely different than lend, hoping for nothing in return. You didn't catch that. Did you catch it? Now the Pope thought it meant lend, hoping for nothing in return. Therefore, we're going to have to make in the Catholic Church a law that says you cannot lend at interest. And basing his theology on a Vulgate mistranslation of the Vulgate. By the way, your Bibles were translated out of the Vulgate, which is a mistranslation of the Vulgate from the original. Oh, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but anyway, you're getting a little idea of what it was. The church came upon it by about 1100 and said, all Roman Catholics have to get out of the banking business and cannot make any interest on their money. Then what happened was, since the canon law did not apply to the Jews, for Jews could not be excommunicated, all of the mercantile use of money was handed over by the Pope to the Jews in 1100 A.D. And the kings of Europe, every king needed a Jew in his court to handle his monetary affairs, for all of them were Roman Catholics except for the Jews. How many understood that basic principle, what I'm trying to get at? And that's how the Jews gained control of all of the monetary affairs in all of the European nations, for it was handed to them as a free gift, plopped in their laps by the popes. Now, just out of curiosity, has anyone here studied enough history to know a little bit about what I'm talking about, of which that I'm speaking? All right, one or two. All right. Now, if that makes sense to you, now you're seeing something. The Jews became in control. Now that the Jews are in control of the monetary system, and it's 1,000 years ago, how much money can they have by now? By the charts I showed you. Say it. How much time does it take to get all of it?
200 years.
How much time does a nation have before it automatically fails? Okay. How old is this nation?
A little
better. 210. Has the nation failed?
Yeah.
Has the government failed?
Yeah.
Is the government solvent?
No.
No, it's not. It's not a solvent government. It's a failed government. Our government has already failed. We can't pay our bills. There is no way to pay our bills. If they taxed us 100%, do you understand what I've said? If instead of paying 20% taxes, we all paid 100% taxes, you and I still cannot make enough money to pay the interest on the national debt. Do you understand what I've just said? It's not there. We do not have the capacity. Neither do the members of other nations. Why? Because of usury. What did God say about usury? He said it will cause the failure of your nation. He warned us. He said, don't get into that system, for that system is mystery, Babylon. That's where usury started. If you don't believe it, I looked it up in the Jewish Encyclopedia, and that's what it said right out. The Jews learned the practice of usury in Babylon. When they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and old Daniel, Meshach and Abednego, remember all that kind of stuff? They were all over there learning usury, learning the practice of the loaning. How many have heard of that Midas touch and all that, the gold and all that kind of stuff back over in there, you see? And they were learning that principle so that when they came out, they were in that kind of business. So when the Pope got the idea, and here's something that's going to be hard on you. I believe our God sovereignly caused that mistake.
Amen.
I'm going to wait for reaction on that. Some of you don't believe that. Some don't believe that God would give all the money to the Jews. I believe He did. I believe He did. And my friend, you have been tricked, Mr. Christian, into thinking that your peace, security, and safety can come through the monetary system. And you're a dope. Excuse me, but you're a dope. You are a real idiot for thinking that peace, security, and safety can come from a Social Security check. Come on now. They're taking it away from you as fast as they can get it. They're taking it away from you at such a rate that your father would turn over in his grave if he knew the taxes you were paying. Because they promised him that they would never charge him more than 1% Social Security tax when they put it in, when FDR put it in 1933. Don't you remember? Now where is it? Well, Social Security is higher than the regular tax. You know what I'm talking about. And it's the failure of the system, and the reason the system has failed for usury itself and the compound interest itself. Can I say it this way? God always understood algebra. And He understood exponents of numbers. And He told us, don't get into it. Don't get into a system where the exponent of a number will cause you in 200 years to lose your government. But we were too dumb. We said, we'll take it up front. We're going to live high on the hog and pass the bill to our yet unborn children. Come on now. You know that's what our fathers said when they passed those bills down there in Washington. They said, we'll never be able to pay for it, but we'll be dead and gone. Let somebody else figure out how to pay for it. And there's only one way. It's to wipe us out. And how are we going to get wiped out? By printing more and more money. And causing more and more inflation. And borrowing more and more as the national debt goes on and on and on. Somebody tell these other people that I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
That's the where we are.
Now,
somebody is saying, I thought we came for a Bible study. You're getting one.
Amen.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17, verse 5.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth.
Keep going.
And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
All right, now let's talk about this woman, this harlot woman, this Babylon. Babylon is the introducer of the usury system to the world. It was introduced by Alexander the Great, the Greek, when he took over the kingdoms of the world, according to Daniel. Am I connecting some things together? Daniel knew all about him, prophesied it 200 years before it happened. Alexander came and took the kingdom, set up the IMFs. We were warned against it. We were told, don't participate, don't get into a usury system, for a usury system has within us the seeds of its own destruction by the arithmetic formula. Just the pure arithmetic formula, having nothing to do with sin, having nothing to do with righteous or unrighteous, having nothing to do with good or bad. If you take simple arithmetic, then compound interest becomes impossible eventually. How many understood the principle, what I'm trying to say? God said it. He warned us against it. We didn't believe it. So we sent a man named Benjamin Franklin to France in 1780, who spent a year living in the House of the Red Shield. Hus de Rothschild. Where he sold our nation to the international bankers who had received the banks from the Pope 700 years before. How many understood that what I've just said? Now we've had 200 years for this system. By 1913, they came up with a new thing. They called it the Federal Reserve System in order to change some rules so they could charge more interest. And now we have what we call the Federal Reserve System. My friend, the Federal Reserve Banks are not an agency of the federal government. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is. I'm going to say that again. The Federal Reserve Banks are privately owned. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is an agency of the federal government that insures the Federal Reserve Banks. Now, for many people, I know that was just a lot of words, but some of you caught what I was saying.
Some people have the authority and some people have the responsibility.
There's a guy that smokes a big cigar. What's his name? Volcker? He goes before the Congress. And he says, the first words he says are, I remind you, gentlemen, that the Federal Reserve Banks have no, there is no statutory requirement for me to answer any of your questions. For we do not report to you, the government of the United States. You report to us. You will not find that on your television sets, but those are the first words he says when he starts to give information about the way, you know, the way the country is going. And if you want to know the state of the nation, don't listen to Reagan on January the 20th. Listen to Volcker. For it's Volcker who knows the state of the nation, not the president. How many understood what I said then? Because this nation is not run or controlled by the president, it's controlled by Volcker, the head of the Federal Reserve Banks, which are not United States federal banks. The word federal is an interesting word. Most of us think federal means United States. Federal doesn't mean United States. It means a group of people who control the United States. Not at one way or the other, and help me out. I can't see them by sleeping, but I see people who wish they were somewhere else. That's right. It's a separate entity in its entirety. It is not controlled by the government whatsoever, but your individual banks are. But the Federal Reserve is not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your local banker is. He has to work under several different laws. But the Federal Reserve, Volcker...
Isn't Volcker appointed by the president or
something? Volcker is appointed by the President of the United States from the presidents of the 12
governors.
That he's rubber stamped. Yeah, in a sense. Don't you remember how badly Reagan spoke against Volcker until it was time to pick another one, and we all thought he was going to pick somebody else, and then he was handed Volcker, and he said whoop gulp, and he swallowed hard and hit this rubber stamp, and that was it. Because the president doesn't make the decisions; it's the federal board that makes the decisions. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody here this afternoon. I'm trying to lay it out the way it is. If it hurts you, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to show you something. Our God is winning. Our God is winning, but our government is losing. And you're going to have to decide who your God is. Most Americans believe their government is God. And I'm trying to show you something. Your government is a devil. And they even write you letters and say, we're going to have adversary proceedings in this tax investigation. You look up the word adversary, and the government says, we'll be your adversary. And Jesus told you who your adversary is. What did he say your adversary is? Say it. The devil. The devil. Yes, sir, the government is out to destroy you and take everything you've got.
Amen, brother.
Now, you understand this basic principle. And not because they want to, because they have to. Because if they take every cent you've got, they still don't have enough money to pay. The interest that they own at the moment that was set on them by the beginning of the 1913 system. And now we have people running government that are having to pay for the mistakes that people made in 1920 and 1930. How many understanding what I'm trying to get at? As each one of those generations decided to live high on the hog and pass the bill to their unborn children. And who are the unborn children? Here we are, right here. We're the unborn children for that generation of people who decided and made their decisions through World War I and World War II to finance it. And who is still paying? Who is still paying for the bombing of French cities in World War I? Say it.
We are.
Now, your government won't lay that out and tell you that, but if you get into it, you'll find out that still on the books and the deficit and the money we owe, we're paying for French cities that were bombed out in World War I. You and me, through that kind of thinking. How many know that we have bought some of our roads 10 times we've paid for the same road, and we're still paying for it again? We're driving our cars over it. Yes, they built it, and our grandfathers were the one with the pick and the shovels, and they did it. And we paid them for it, but we're now repaying and repaying and repaying for that same road. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.